Grinders, and welcome to the Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to talk about the MLB slate. Me and Josh were trying to get it recorded before, but he's having some issues, I'm just here to talk about it for now. So yeah, just wanted to kind of get started with it. I think it's a pretty it's not the easiest slate, but I think it's I think there's some decisions to be made at the top, and I think it's clear cut what you have to do, but at the same time I think it's one of those slates where we have tough decisions to make. But I think the routes to go is it's pretty obvious, and I think to kick that off, we'll just talk about the pitching, right? It's a loaded pitching slate. There's just guys that you have to have interest in. Guy like Max Scherzer, he's gets a matchup against Milwaukee, tons of strikeout upside. He's a guy that you definitely have to have a ton of interest in here. He's my favorite option, right? If I had to pick, if salary wasn't a thing, he's got the most upside. But then there's a guy like Chris Archer. You have to love him against the White Sox. White Sox, Jose Abreu was out of the lineup yesterday. Good chance he's out again. I mean, this is a great strikeout upside spot for him. It's not the best pitcher's park. Same with Max Scherzer in Milwaukee. Not the best pitcher's park, but he's a guy you have to like. Then we talk about a guy like Yu Darvish. Against San Diego, a team that we love to stream against, he makes a ton of sense here. They're at like implied run total over 4, which is kind of shocking at first. Like, first look, you're like, oh, that wouldn't sound about right to me, right? But it's just one of those slates where I think it's Darvish is a tournament option that could go super on her own that you have to consider. He's probably the number 3 to Max and Archer for me, but he's the guy on the list, right, that we have to consider. Then we have the next tier. It's like guys like Aaron Nola, Brad Peacock, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Rodon, and Dan Straley. I think it's like Nola and Straley become like the 1 and 2 here in this tier. These are like two guys that you definitely have like the most interest in. We've been streaming pitchers against Philly. It's a good ballpark shift for as like a Miami pitcher, like getting the Phillies in a pitcher's park is always good. Nola's a guy that he's gonna get a ton of like righties that we're kind of worried about in this lineup, right? Like, we're worried about a Stanton, Ozuna, but like Nola's a guy who pitches well against right-handers, so I think it makes sense to go to them as turn options. I think Straley could end up being popular because it's the Phillies, but I think it's both good spots for them. Stroman is a guy I'm just going to pass on, I think, because of the matchup, and it just doesn't make sense with it being such a loaded pitching slate. Just the upside I don't see is there. Brad Peacock, I'm going to stay away because I get it. Like streaming against the Mets makes a ton of sense, but the problem with Brad Peacock is the innings, right? He normally doesn't go enough innings for us to like. So, 6 innings, 5.1, 4.2, 6.1, 6, 4, 3, 7. Like, it's just, it's rare that he's going to get the 7 innings, and this is a slate where I feel like I need to get a lot of innings out of my pitcher. So I'm going to pass on Brad Peacock here. And then the one last guy I want to talk about is Carlos Rodon. He's a guy with tons of strikeout upside in this spot against Tampa Bay. He can explode, right? He can absolutely get destroyed, and he can absolutely crush and get tons of strikeouts. So he's a high-risk, high-reward type play, so you have to just keep that in mind when you play him. And I don't know if I'll get a lot of exposure to him. He's not a guy you want to go all in on, but I wouldn't hate getting some exposure in tournaments to him. So at the top, those are kind of the guys like to really talk about. I think for me, I'm just gonna I think my 1, 2, and 3 are Max Scherzer, Chris Archer, and Dan Straley. I think that's my 1, 2, and 3 all around. And then we talk about these other guys, right? Here's kind of the issue. I think that, we got a guy like Patrick Corbin in Coors. I'm gonna pass on Kyle Gibson against Kansas City. Pass on John Gray in Coors. I'm gonna pass on him too. Then we get some interesting guys like Jameson Taillon. Against Cincinnati, there's going to be some weather, so that's going to be an issue and something to watch for. So that's, be on the lookout for that. But I don't love him in this spot. Cincinnati's not a team I'm trying to target. I just think there's tons of guys at the top that I have more interest in. Wade Miley against Toronto sounds like another pass to me. Jarrell Cotton against Seattle, no thanks. Ricky Nolasco in Texas and AJ Griffin in Texas, no thanks. Seth Lugo against Houston, that's a pass. Gallardo against Oakland, I get it, right? Like, Oakland strikes out a ton against righties, but I'm not trying to play Gallardo here. There's too many good pitchers at the top that I have interest in, right? Some of the guys I crossed off just because there's at least 4 guys that just feel like they're in like really good spots. It's too hard to not get exposure to them. So like Jordan Lyles, pass. Onelki Garcia, he's another guy I'm going to pass on. The two guys at the bottom I have semi-interest in, and again, one is in a weather game, is Tyler Mahle. Again, he's a young pitcher, has some strikeout upside, but I don't think this is the spot to really, go with him. So I'm going to probably pass on him personally, just because of like the weather and like the, Pirates aren't the team you definitely want to target a ton. He's a guy I'm going to try to look to play throughout the rest of the year, but this just isn't the right spot for it. The one last guy, cheap, if you told told me, hey, Travis, I'm going cheap. Who do I go? I think it's Brandon Woodruff, just because the amount of strikeout upside that he can have. I know the Washington lineup is a little better now, but I think Woodruff is a guy that has some upside that we could definitely attack here. But again, I think it's a spot to not get cute and go cheap. I think it's clear cut. You got to pay up. Got to go for guys that are more expensive than Dan Straelien up. And I think that's kind of what you have to do here. So that's just my personal opinion on like what I think is like the route to go. I don't see one of these other cheaper pitchers winning you a slate. I think you're going to have to find the bats there. I get like, you know, if you stack them up and you have like these super expensive offenses, there's just not a ton of good pitching. So, and I think one of these pitchers is going to absolutely have a dominant outing, and you're going to want to have them on your on this slate. So let's move on to the catcher position. We have Brian McCann against Seth Lugo. I love him in this spot. I think he's interesting. You always have to have interest in Jonathan LaCroix against a lefty in Coors. Makes a ton of sense. One of my top guys, if you have the money to pay for, is Yasmani Grandal against Lyles. I think he's in a fantastic spot here. Grandal is a guy that I'm a big fan of, but he gets a better park shift here, in San Diego than, LA. And, it's just one of those spots where I think, it's not a huge park shift, but I think it's warranted enough where it could help, obviously, right? A little bit. And, he's been hitting the ball pretty well recently. And I like him here in this spot. If you want a cheap guy like Wilson Ramos against a lefty, he's always a guy that hits lefties well. And then like some of these Twins catchers, right? They are pretty cheap, and prioritizing them, I don't hate doing that against a lefty, and I think they're cheap. Getting cheap exposure to Twins bats makes sense, but kind of the way to play catcher today is wait to see what happens when the lineups come out. I think that's the smartest thing to do, and once those lineups come out, basically make a decision based on that, because I think there's no catcher I'm like really prioritizing, right? It's not like I have like it's not like I have Gary Sanchez against a really bad lefty, right? In Yankee Stadium. I don't have that today. I don't have that kind of spot. One guy people might ask about is, hey, Salvador Perez, he's really cheap. But these guys like been playing kind of injured, it sounds like. It's the kind of the word around the street is I'm just gonna stay away from him for now and just kind of move on from there. So that's kind of my take on that and kind of what I'm gonna do with the catcher position. It's not a spot I love, so we'll just have to like kind of take the wait and see approach. But moving on to the next spot, we'll have first base. Enough, one of my obviously like I love like Paul Goldschmidt Coors against John Gray, but John Gray is not the greatest matchup for him. But Paul Goldschmidt Coors is a guy, if you can get exposure to, I would want to, right? And a guy like Mark Reynolds against a lefty, that makes a lot of sense. You definitely want to get exposure to these Coors bats. It's one of the best hitting environments, and it makes so much sense. But one of my favorite first basemen on the slate, and call me crazy, is Albert Pujols against AJ Griffin. I think he just makes so much sense here in this spot. It's just an absolute great play for me. So I'm definitely going to have interest in him here. So he's a guy definitely you want to end up, I think, loading up on. Then one other guy that I like, he's not on this slate, but I wish he was, Edwin Encarnacion. Figured I'd mention him as like a guy. If you're playing other slates, he's a guy I like a lot. I think he's in a really good spot here. And talking about another Angel, CJ Cron against Griffin. I wouldn't hate going with him here. He's not a bad option too. But again, first is not a spot I'm in love with. I'm not just like dying to play tons of first baseman here. If Ricky Nolasco is a guy who gets hit pretty hard, I would like have interest in a guy like Mike Napoli or a guy like Joey Gallo. I think they make sense. But if you're telling me, hey, Travis, who's your favorite first baseman on the slate? Call me crazy. It's Albert Pujols here. I like him a lot, and I think it just makes a ton of sense. So I'm moving on to the next position. We have second base, and we have Brian Dozier against a lefty. Like, sign me up. A not-so-good lefty. I'll pay the price tag for him. He's one of my favorite guys here. If you want to go on the cheaper end, more like the mid-tier, Daniel Murphy, right? I like Brandon Woodruff, but I'm a big Daniel Murphy fan. He's a really good hitter, and it just makes a ton of sense here. So, I mean, sign me up for some Daniel Murphy. He's a guy against Woodruff in the park like Milwaukee where it's good for lefty power. I'm going to have interest in Daniel Murphy in this spot for sure. There's other guys that we can look at, right? Like, go Whit Merrifield. He's been hitting the ball well. If you want to get exposure to Kansas City, don't hate going him against a Kyle Gibson. If you have the money for Jose Altuve, would love to pay up for him. And then there's like the Coors bats, right? DJ LeMahieu against a lefty doesn't have huge upside. That's the problem with LeMahieu. But if you're playing Colorado, don't hate putting him in there. Like, guy like Odor against a guy like Nolasco. Like, Nolasco just gets hit hard by lefties. He makes a ton of sense to go a guy like Odor. Especially if you're stacking up Texas, I wouldn't want to miss out on him. But for me, my two favorite second basemen, and they're kind of pricey, but, I kind of saved with Albert Pujols at first, and I kind of like to save a catcher, so I'm gonna pay up here. I'm going to go Brian Dozier or Daniel Murphy. Those are my one and two at the second base position today. Moving on to third base. he's like the clear-cut guy, right? Nolan Arenado, how do you fade him against Patrick Corbin, like against a lefty? He's gonna be chalky though, right? That's kind of the thing. He's the guy I think you load up on. He's one of the most prioritized bats on this slate you want to prioritize. So Nolan Arenado, man, love him in this spot. He's the best option here for me. If you want to go for more of like a cheaper option, Evan Longoria against Carlos Rodon. Rodon is lefty, and Longoria has hit lefties really great throughout his career, so he makes a ton of sense. You can also go back to the well on Coors, Jake Lamb against John Gray. That makes a lot of sense here. And you know, this Minnesota Kansas City game is an interesting one, and I think there's some more third baseman to play here, like an Eduardo Escobar, a Mike Moustakas who homered yesterday. There's some third baseman to like here, so you know, you can go and play them here too. I think they're interesting. And of course, third is just loaded as usual. You get Josh Donaldson against a lefty who's going to go super under-owned, and he's just in a great spot. So, I mean, Josh Donaldson against a lefty, sign me up. And then even Justin Turner against Lyles. Not so great of a pitcher. He makes sense. And hey, you know, I'm going to talk about the Angels a little bit here on this slate. Don't mind going to Luis Valbuena, who has double home run upside. So third is pretty loaded. If you're telling me, hey, Travis, I'm entering, you know, DraftKings 3-entry max. Who am I playing? You know, you can only play three different guys. I'll go Nolan Arenado as one. I'll go Josh Donaldson as my number two. And my number three, just because, you know, once we get to the stack of day, you'll find out. Luis Valbuena, I'll go with as my number three. So, yeah, that's kind of how I think of the third base position. Moving on to shortstop. Shortstop's a position. We got Trey Turner back in our lives. You know, I would love to play him against Brandon Woodruff because of the stolen base upside, but I don't think it's a third base spot where I really am definitely going to pay up. But if I can pay up, of course I'd love to pay up for him. I don't know if I'm going to pay the price tag on FanDuel of Jorge Polanco at 4K. Seems pretty priced up, but you know, he's a guy to consider. Like guys like Elvis Andrews up here for 3,700. He's another guy. But shortstop's a spot where I think I'm going to try and like wait and see what happens with like lineups and hopefully get maybe a cheaper option. Of course, if you have the money, Trevor Story against a lefty, he's a guy that's been crushing lefties you know, historically, so I would have interest in him. One other guy I definitely like is Andrelton Simmons. I think he's an interesting option depending on the lineup spot. Would definitely look to get some exposure to him here. It makes a ton of sense. So yeah, shortstop is a spot where there's not a lot to love. Like, I love the price tag of Jean Segura for 2,700. There's not a lot to like for, like, more so, like, the cheaper options, I should say. There's a lot to like at the top. The question is can you pay up at can you pay up here at shortstop, right? That's kind of the debate. It's normally a position I kind of, like, wait for lineups and try and pay down if I can. But hey, if you're just going to tell me, Travis, pick your three favorite shortstops, right, on this slate. I'll go with Trevor Story as my number one just because it's in cores against Patrick Corbin. I know Patrick Corbin's a bit better, right? But he's a guy that has huge upside. And, you know, there's obviously some risk there, right? Trevor Story is historically a guy who's a, you know, GBP player, right? He swings for the fences. He's all or nothing. So, yeah, Trevor Story is a guy you definitely like a lot. Maybe he's not he's my number one tournament play, not my number one cash play. That's kind of the issue in cash. I don't know if I can stomach paying that 3,800 price tag for a possible zero, right? But he's a guy I like a lot here. Trey Turner is another guy. He's going to be my number two here, I'd say. And then throwing as my number three, we will go with we'll go with Andrelton Simmons just because I'm going to like guys against Andrew Griffin with that huge run total for the Angels. And then real quick before we go, let me pull up DraftKings real quick. I just want to see some Minnesota pricing. I know they're expensive on FanDuel, but the Minnesota pricing, yeah, Polanco at shortstop is 4.7K. The problem is the Twins are getting super priced up. It makes sense though, right? Against a guy like Garcia with a 5.48 run total. The question is, are people going to pay these price tags? I'll just list them off to you. I think it's interesting to talk about this stack for a second. Garcia is a guy who's not that great, and we get Dozier for 5.2K, Polanco for 4.7, Buxton for 5.4. You know, a guy like Kenny's Vargas against a lefty, he's a guy for 3.4K. I probably should mention at first base. I like him a lot. He hits lefties really well, so he makes a ton of sense. And you got some of these cheaper catchers, but like, who's going to pay, like, you know, the price tag for Buxton and for like Polanco and like, those are just super expensive price tags. Escobar is at least 4K at shortstop eligible on DraftKings. So there's guys to go here. I don't want to sleep on the Twins, so I just want to kind of mention that. You know, mainly was looking at FanDuel because I pulled up DraftKings earlier and like that, you know, it crashed my whole computer. So I'm not pulling it up right now. But I'm mainly looking at FanDuel just because of that issue I had. But yeah, he's 4K on FanDuel. But Yeah, just to kind of like wrap it up, like I said, I think Trey Turner, Trevor Story, like two of the top options. I like Anderson Simmons. I also like these Minnesota shortstops if you can get them in, but it's one of those slates where just be on the lookout to see what lineups dictate for us. Like, you know, just kind of find a spot for value, because it might be a spot where we want to get for value because we want to pay it for a guy like Arenado, who we talked about, who's in a great spot against Patrick Corbin. So, yeah, definitely kind of the way I'd sum it up. And we'll move on to the outfield. So the way I'm going to do the outfield is I'm just going to, you know, go team by team rather than salary, like, you know, rather than go up and down the salary. I'll just go team by team and kind of break it down to you. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, it's kind of like a fade game. There's really bad weather, too, so I'm just not touching those outfielders, and that's kind of what I'm just going to take the approach. If you look at the Toronto outfield, man, Jose Bautista has been so bad, but where he's cheap, I don't mind going back to him. I like Steve Pierce. He gets a lefty, and we know Steve Pierce crushes lefties, so Steve Pierce makes a ton of sense here. I like him. Stroman's a guy who reduces a lot of hard contact, and, you know, he's not a huge strikeout upside pitcher. He's just like a good quality pitcher. I'm just going to fade the Baltimore outfield. Just doesn't seem too necessary here to me. So that's kind of the approach I'll take. Then looking at a guy like Carlos Rodon, maybe get like a guy like Steven Souza, but Steven Souza is a guy who's been mainly hitting righties a lot better than lefties this year. That's where all his power has been, where all his home runs have been. So I don't think you need to go a guy like Souza here, but don't hate it. Like, I wouldn't argue against it. But yeah. I mean, look at the White Sox outfield, hard pass against Archer, just doesn't make any sense at all. Looking at the Washington outfield, don't think I need to go any of those guys, really. Just not guys that I'm absolutely in love with. Against Woodruff, the Milwaukee outfield against Max Scherzer, that's a hard pass. I promise we have more outfields coming that we definitely should have some interest in, like this next one. Kansas City and Minnesota, we should have interest in. You know, some of these Kansas City bats, like Lorenzo Cain, Melky Cabrera, Brandon Moss, he hits, you know, righties pretty well, and he's lefty that has huge upside, so against a guy like Kyle Gibson, makes a ton of sense. And then this Minnesota outfield, talked about them earlier, you know, definitely think I'd have interest in a guy like Byron Buxton. He just makes a ton of sense here. I know he's priced up, but where you can get him cheap, let's see, FanDuel. I know he's expensive on DraftKings. FanDuel, he is $3,700. I know he's been battling with an injury, but you definitely have to have interest in some of these Minnesota outfielders here in the spot. Moving on, Philadelphia, I like Hoskins and Nick Williams. If you believe that, you know, you want to attack the flyball pitcher and Dan Straley, I don't mind that as like a mini stack of doing the Nick Williams Hoskins route, but I don't think it's necessary on this slate, and I'm not trying to attack Dan Straley. And again, same with Nola, right? I love what Giancarlo Stanton's been doing, but I don't think you need to pay for him. I'd rather pay for, you know, another top bat instead. So I'm going to pass on the Miami outfield. Reason why I'm going to pass is I'm loading up on this Angels outfield. You know, give me Cole Calhoun, give me Upton, give me Trout. Love them. I think they're in just fantastic spots. So I'm going to load up on them. And then, you know, against Ricky Nolasco, we can't forget this Texas outfield, right? Don't sleep on them too. They're in a fantastic spot. Just to note, it's 90 degrees there compared to all these other spots. So talking about weather is super important here towards September, because it's cooler in a lot of places, right? Texas is 90 degrees. Colorado, it's 88. Then we move on to some of these other games, right? 71 in Chicago. You know, Rufus closed in Miami. Rufus probably closed in Milwaukee. 77 in Minnesota. 65 in Baltimore. 61 in Pittsburgh. These two games of Angels, Texas, and Arizona and Colorado are in such great spots because of the weather. Like, just make sure you are, like, I'm not telling you just that you definitely have to load up on these teams, but you should be getting exposure to these teams in this spot. It just makes so much sense. So that's kind of the route I would take. Like, I love Mike Trout here. I mean, that's not a hot take though, right? But like Mike Trout, Justin Upton, and Calhoun, I think they just make so much sense here. Even a Ben Revere, if he's batting first, don't hate putting him in there. Then we'll talk about Arizona, Colorado, right? You know, if we're talking about Colorado, definitely like Ian Desmond, if he's in the lineup, I think he makes a ton of sense for Colorado. He's probably batting fifth, but that makes a ton of sense. Then you get a guy like Charlie Blackmon. I know it's a lefty, but I don't care. Charlie Blackmon hits lefties and righties well. And then I'd probably pass on a guy like Parr or Cargo. You know, I just think it's mainly like Desmond and Blackmon in that outfield. If you look at the Arizona outfield, it's guys like Peralta, right? Peralta is like the lefty you want. Don't hate JD Martinez, but there's better plays, so I would rather pass on him. But if you want to go, if you're looking to stack up Arizona, I wouldn't be leaving David Peralta off it, right? Just wouldn't make any sense to leave that guy, because he can hit righties really well. So yeah, Moving on, we have, you know, Mets outfield, absolute pass. That team is terrible. Houston outfield, it's a guy like Seth Lugo, you know, maybe like get a little JJ, not JJ Redick. Oh man, I'm in basketball mode. Josh Redick. So yeah, Josh Redick is a guy I think maybe I'd get exposure to on the Houston side, or George Springer. People forget George Springer. He gets righties and lefties both well. So yeah, George Springer is a guy that you can definitely get to, but I'm not in love with Houston today. Maybe that's something I shouldn't be more in love with Houston, because it's like a guy like Seth Lugo, so maybe I should have more interest in them, but I'm not absolutely in love with Seth, you know, with Houston today in this spot. But yeah, obviously, you know, you have to have interest in a guy like Springer and a guy like Redick here. It's one of those things where, you know, I talk about liking Houston and I probably don't end up doing it, but I definitely talk about it because it makes sense against Seth Lugo here. But yeah, moving on. Seattle and the Oakland outfields. I don't know. These are pitchers like Cotton and Gallardo that we probably should be targeting, but I'm not targeting. These hitters, right? You know, Seattle's a 5.06 run total against a guy like Cotton. You would think, loading up on Nelson Cruz makes a ton of sense. But I'm probably not going to end up doing it. But if I had to play one bat in this game, it'd be Chris Davis on the Oakland side and Nelson Cruz at just one-offs. And I think that makes sense to do it that way if that's what I wanted to do. And then they kind of close things out here with the outfield, San Diego against, you know, San Diego outfielders against Yu Darvish. That's just a hard pass for me. No thanks. I mean, I guess there's some, like, guys that if they get their bat on the ball, they have some power and pop, but I'm going to pass on that. And then looking at the Dodgers, you know, I just don't think it's, you know, Dodgers kind of cooled off, and I don't think it's necessary to play any Dodgers outfielders here. Like, none are just, like, popping off the pages, really good plays. So, yep, that's kind of it for the outfield for me. Just kind of, to sum it up, my favorite outfield play is the Angels. You know, the Trout, Calhoun, and Upton combo. But yeah, that'll kind of lead us into the stack of the day, right? You know, I love Justin Upton. He's one of my favorite DFS rosters, and him going to this Angels team, you know, I absolutely love it. Hitting in 90 degree weather against a guy like AJ Griffin, who, hey guys, we all know this, right? Like, AJ Griffin is not good. It's not in a good hitting environment. Against lefties, a 5.26 Sierra. Against righties, right, a 3.70, which is like, you know, the numbers are just like so far off and different. And I don't expect that, you know, I don't expect the righty one to, you know, sustain where it's at, right? That's not, you know, that's not typically where he's at, right? It just doesn't make a ton of sense. So I'm definitely gonna load up on some Angels here. I think in this hot weather park, it makes so much sense. So you know, obviously when we do the stack of the day, we leave Coors off because you know, everyone knows Coors is a good play. But for me, just looking at this, like, Angels have a huge run total right now at 5.7. You know, line movement's trending in their way. You know, their line's going up. Texas is going down. Again, that doesn't mean Texas is in bad play, but in tournaments, say more people are on the Angels, then it makes sense to go Texas. You could easily do that. You can make the argument, if the Angels are going to be the higher owned team, then go Texas. If Texas is going to be the higher owned team, go the Angels. But for me, not including ownership or whatnot, I think that the Angels are my favorite play on this slate, so they will be my stack of the day. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. You know, it's a little bit of a shorter one. We had some tech issues a bunch, but thanks a lot for joining, you know, the weekend grind, and you know, definitely appreciate having you guys listen. If you have any questions regarding this slate, you know, sometimes my opinions change throughout the day. If you have any questions, you know, say, hey, is there a stack of the day different? Do you like a different pitcher? If you see something in the lineup, say you see a lineup is different, and you say, hey, I'm kind of considering this pitcher, are you considering him now that this lineup is different? You know, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. Yeah, give me a follow there and I'm happy to answer your questions for you. But that's about it for this slate, guys. Thanks so much for joining, and I am out.